Spirit 88.9 FM, we are Catholic radio for the Christian community. Spirit Mornings is what you're tuned into with Bruce McGregor and...
Chris McGregor.
And I know I overly abuse the word delighted, but we'll add delighted and honored to have with us on the program again this morning, Dr. Scott Hahn. Scott, good morning and welcome.
Bruce and Chris, I am the one who's delighted to be back again with you. You're doing great work, and I love to collaborate with you.
Well, I'm going to trump you both. I'm going to say richly blessed. How's that?
Even better.
You win.
Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. I know that you are very busy because you're participating in a very, very special event for the Catholic Church in America, and that's the celebration of EWTN's 25th anniversary.
That's right. It's coming up this weekend, August 12th and 13th. And this is going to be the one that is actually held down in Birmingham. Mm. And I was there earlier this summer in Philadelphia, and I must say that was one of the most exciting events in recent memory.
Scott, I think that's how I came to know your work was through EWTN, just someone who back in the early, or should I say the late 80s, was searching, looking, came across a cable network I had never heard of before, and heard your conversion story. And it spoke so strongly to me, and both me and Bruce, that it propelled us into a wonderful journey back home to the church.
Yeah, those years, 89 and 90, were really a spectacular springtime of grace for us. I look back on that experience of going down for the first time and sharing with Mother, and just getting a feel for what our Lord had been doing through the Eternal Word television network, because in the mid-80s, I was a doctoral student. We couldn't afford to have a TV, much less cable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was oblivious. I didn't have a clue. But once I discovered it, I thought, what a treasure.
It is a real testament to the Holy Spirit that lay people in the form essentially of this wonderful nun and the people that work for her and for the network, and also through your ministry, that it would really renew and revitalize the church.
You know, I was reading recently the biography by Raymond Arroyo, mm-hmm. Mother Angelica, and I knew some of the story that a multimillionaire had just determined to build a network with all of the resources that he had, and he set out to do it and then flopped. And as a result of his failure, this little nun from Cleveland was able to buy the top, state-of-the-art mm-hmm. technology, a dime on the dollar. And this happened over the course of years. It didn't happen suddenly, and it was in response to a lot of prayer and fasting. But to see how the rich sometimes fail and how the poor succeed in a divine way is such a rich testament, because it didn't just do it in an isolated manner. It spawned so many other radio stations such as your own, mm-hmm. so many other media apostolates. It's simply staggering to me to see how our Lord chooses to bless the humble and the lowly.
That reminds me of a prayer a young girl said once back in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Lifted up the lowly.
It is a Magnificat. It sure is.
Well, Scott, one of the other things, too, that we wanted to mention that we're delighted that we've been able to work with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and our good friend David Scott has provided the radio station with a lot of wonderful talks from some very, very incredible people. Yourself, of course, your lovely wife, Kimberly. Also, Mike Aquilina, Jeff Cavins, and many, many more people that we're going to be running Wednesdays at 10 a.m., starting with yours and Kimberly's Sign of the Covenant.
I was thrilled to hear this, Bruce. I was really excited to hear about the possibilities, but to discover that these became actualities that, I'm not surprised, because David Scott is such a go-getter, and Mike Aquilina, too, and I can't say enough about Kimberly, but David Scott and Mike Aquilina are two of my best friends, closest co-workers, and the most fruitful apostles I know. And so for them to be on your radio, for them to also help you get some more material on, it's just a thrill, but it's not a shock.
Right. Now, we just wanted to let everyone know that in addition to Signs of the Covenant, they'll be hearing In the Footsteps of St. Paul, Heart of the Family, Heart of the Church, Word Worship and the Mysteries, and Living the Eucharist, you and Mike Aquilina. And just an incredible lineup of very, very wonderful programs. So, again, Scott, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we're delighted to be able to offer these programs to people, I think, for the first time on the radio.
So. Bruce, I can tell just by your tone that you feel something similar to what I feel, and that is, I can't believe I get to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I was saying that earlier today with David Scott and last night with Mike Aquilina and Kimberly, and I always feel that way. It's just an amazing grace to be able to share in this kind of work. And, you know, since we mentioned David and Mike, I wanted to also just underscore something, because I'm convinced that David Scott's book, The Catholic Passion, is become a classic.
Amen.
And it's doing very well, but in some sections of the country, I've noticed it's sort of a sleeper. And when people pick it up and read through it, they're just like, my goodness, does that make our faith come alive? Or actually just makes my faith come alive, because the faith has been alive all along. And I am so grateful for what he's done in writing that, and other things too. But he and Mike really need to become better known, and I'm grateful for the fact that they're on this station and getting the word out.
They've really nurtured our audience, Scott. They have Mike is with us to discuss the Church Fathers as the feast days come forward, and people are just they wait in bated breath. You know, when's Mike Aquilina going to be back on? Because he has such a beautiful way of sharing everything. And David, I think, as you said, The Catholic Passion is a book that takes the truths of our faith and turns it into prose.
Yeah, these two guys are, you know, proofs of the old axiom that still waters run deep. That maxim applies to these two more than almost anybody I know. Mike has just such a gentle style, and yet when he speaks of the fathers, he's really speaking about people who are fathers to him. You know, for us as Americans, we have our founding fathers, you know, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Ben Franklin, and so on. And we're proud of them, you know, and we as a country ought to be proud, but we as a Catholic Church ought to be immeasurably more proud, because the graces that we've received, you know, from God the Father through Christ and the Spirit, but ultimately through the apostles and their successors, I mean, these men really need to become true spiritual fathers to the whole family of God, and he has made me more aware of that than any 10 people combined.
I have to go back again to the work of EWTN and how it has brought forward such wonderful people that may never have gotten noticed in the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has united us. And I'm thinking of Father Michael Scanlon and what he was able to do because of the exposure that he got nationally. I think that certainly helped the Franciscan, I want to say college in Steubenville, but it's a university.
Right.
Yeah, I remember the days when it was college. But
right, the College of Steubenville.
But it brought forth these people with great gifts, and people were so hungry to be able to hear it.
You know, it's funny because it's a kind of feedback loop. There's sort of reciprocity. He came on in 1974 as the president of the College of Steubenville, right when they were contemplating closing it down, and then he just made it come alive. There was a sort of institutional resurrection of sorts within the first 5 years or so, and it kept growing. And in those days, during the summer months, he would hold these conferences for priests and deacons, but also for charismatic leaders, for Catholics of all stripes. And there are photographs in the St. Joseph Center lining the hall there. There are photographs that are framed for all the years that go back to the mid-70s. And in those mid-70s and in the mid and late 70s, you see this nun in brown up there in the tent at the College of Steubenville preaching her heart out, teaching the, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, and it's none other than Mother Angelica. And this was right when things were just at the discussion phase, when, you know, when EWTN was really getting launched. The two of them were collaborating on many different fronts.
I just have to imagine what she must have thought of you when you first met.
She didn't hide it, because when the show was done, she took me into her office and gave me a big hug, and we prayed together, and she assured me that God was going to use me, and I assured her that it would have to be God. I know my defects well enough to realize that, you know, if there's any pride, it has to all go to God. And I also wanted to mention, too, since we mentioned Father Mike Scanlon and Mother Angelica, that this particular weekend down in Birmingham to celebrate the 25th anniversary, the birthday of EWTN, it's going to be such a family event. I was in Philadelphia, and I knew that was how they advertised it. But as soon as I walked into that arena in near Temple University, you could feel it. It was an electrifying sense of family solidarity. And I suspect that down in Birmingham this weekend, it's probably going to be even greater, not lesser, with Father Carapi preaching as well as Father Andrew Apostoli. I am really looking forward to this.
And when you talk about electricity, Scott, you can truly feel the Holy Spirit in gatherings, not only for EWTN and down in Birmingham, but in colleges and universities like Franciscan University, but also people are in Bible studies now. They're taking a whole new look. And I think that's been fostered by a work that you have pioneered in just reconnecting the scriptures with the liturgy. Those two combinations coming together, there's something extraordinarily electrifying that is just speaking to people very loudly.
Well, I would agree. I would supplement the notion of electricity with radioactivity, because you and Bruce have certainly become radioactive Catholics, and I tell you, there's something truly supernatural and divine about this apostolate too, that supplements all of the Bible studies and all of the catechetical and apologetic works that are being done by various groups around the country. But you know, you just brought us back, I think, to the baseline, because the Word of God, I mean, that's what EWTN is all about, the Eternal Word Television Network. That's what we're all about, hearing the Word of God, and even more, receiving the Word, because the Word is not primarily a book. The Word is a person, the person of the Son, the Son who comes eternally from the Father. And certainly we have an inspired Word in sacred Scripture, and in every Mass, that book is read. But it isn't just simply read and then proclaimed. It is fulfilled, it is activated, it is released, it is actualized in every single Eucharist. Mm-hmm. So it's so important for us to become true Bible Christians as Catholics. There's no church on earth that, you know, celebrates and contemplates and activates the Bible more. I mean, you can go to a Sunday service down the street and hear in the Baptist church great preaching, and go to the Lutheran church and hear great preaching, but nowhere are you going to find more of the Bible being read, and it's always the old and the new, showing how Christ is fulfilling the old and the new, but the fulfillment doesn't cease in the first century. It continues in the 21st century every bit as much as it was going on back then at the days of his ministry, his death and resurrection. And that's what the Eucharist does. It takes the saving truth of Scripture and makes it come alive, whether we know it or not. And for me, discovering it, you know, 20 years ago when I became a Catholic, it was so wonderful, because the objectivity of Christ's presence gave me a sense of peace, because he was there even before I knew it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so his presence doesn't depend upon me conjuring up, you know, super sacred feelings or warm, fuzzy emotions. It is so real. He is so there. You know, now I go down to my parish on Monday nights, and my daughter Hannah goes down on Thursday nights, and we do the adoration, an hour of adoration. And I'm there, and it just occurs to me, when you grasp just the beginnings of the truth of the real presence, you have to say, Jesus, you are here. Your presence is even more than mine. I mean, I'm here too, but, you know, I'm distracted. I am tired. You know, I am not as present as you are. Make your presence, you know, more real in my life.
Aren't you really seeing it now in the faces of the young men who are in our seminaries, the young priests? They really get that.
Boy, I sure do. I know the university here in Steubenville gave me permission 5 years ago to extend my energies out to seminaries. I teach at two seminaries in Rome during spring breaks, during March, usually for a week or two, a one or two credit course on Scripture and liturgy. But I've also been teaching at St. Vincent's Seminary in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which isn't far from, about an hour and 20 minutes on the other side of Pittsburgh. And the Benedictines run St. Vincent's Seminary, and I have been awarded the Pope Benedict Chair of Biblical Theology there. And I'm supposed to kind of build a bridge between biblical studies on the one hand and preaching on the other. Because oftentimes when you do biblical exegesis, it becomes a technical thing that doesn't translate into great preaching. And sometimes when you study preaching, you learn rhetorical techniques. Mm-hmm. But these seminarians, these young priests, have a passion to combine them and to go deeper and deeper into Scripture and to proclaim this more loud and clear and boldly and fruitfully. I have never seen the likes of the seminarians. I mean, 15 or 20 years ago, they just weren't there in such numbers, and not just quantity, but quality too.
I know the Lord hears our prayers, because we've had the opportunity to meet some wonderful seminarians who've gone through the Institute for Priestly Formation this summer and have really done that very prayerful discernment, seeking out, trying to continue to have Christ as the center of their lives. And from that, everything, their priesthood, it will flow from that.
You know, there are a lot of different activities and organizations and events scheduled around the country this summer for priestly renewal, but I can't think of one particular organization that does the kind of work that the Institute of Priestly Formation does. I'm so glad you mentioned them. You know, Father John Horn, my good friend Deacon Jim Keating, just went to join them.
Yep.
And the work that is being done to renew the priests, and not only in their professional work, you know, in administering sacraments or proclaiming the word, but most especially in their interior lives and their own spiritual growth. And to me, that is the wellspring from which everything else must flow.
Well, as Father Thomas Acland says, it's the unchanging heart of the priesthood.
By the way, Father Thomas Acland is a close friend of mine who's been teaching out at St. Vincent's for many, many years, and I tell you, hearing him lecturing down the hall is a great inspiration to me. That book, The Unchanging Heart of the Priesthood, is just a masterpiece.
It truly is. We were very blessed to have him on with us for a good hour or more, just talking about the priesthood. And the response, Scott, from our audience was tremendous.
Oh, you should see it in the eyes of the seminarians when they spend time with Father Thomas. It is. He just lives that charism as a Benedictine so profoundly. Mm-hmm. He's contagious.
Now, this is not just for the young, everybody who's listening, because you too, you don't have to be a seminarian to experience this, or a woman being called to religious life now. Because of the work of the St. Paul Biblical Center for Theology, they have salvationhistory.com, where you have available for us, Scott, the opportunities to enter into this mystery in a study way that is, it's free. I mean, you've made it so accessible.
That's something we've insisted on for the last 5 years. The St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology was founded 5 years ago, and Mike Aquilina, David Scott, and I collaborate along with Kimberly, my wife, and we really were insistent from the beginning that we would make the best Bible study materials available online for free. And we have materials that are really, you know, suited for beginners as well as for intermediates, and there are materials out there on our website to go more deeply for those who want to, you know, get advanced in their biblical instruction as well. We've asked people to register, but we don't make it mandatory. But close to 10,000 people worldwide have registered for these online instructions and used the resources. And, you know, the salvationhistory.com has become sort of my favorite website, because when it started out, I had some ideas. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, David Scott had much better ones, and Mike Aquilina. And together we created such a synergy, you know, with the Holy Spirit at the center. We look and just kind of stand back in awe at what our Lord has done through these resources.
Oh, yeah.
And when you talk about resources, the fellows that you have, everyone from Father Mitch Pacwa to Matthew Bunsen to Father Acland, I mean, you just have so many people that have come forward to assist in this ministry.
Yeah, and those we call them St. Paul Center Fellows or Senior Fellows. And Father Tom Acland, for example, is one of the Senior Fellows. And we just put on a retreat, a conference for priests and deacons at St. Vincent's last month, and he was a part of that, along with Dr. Bales and Dr. Petrie, two lay people who teach Scripture at two seminaries, one in New Orleans and the other one at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg. And I know 110 priests for 4 days, at the end of which, I mean, they had been listening to this teaching, and this one priest stood up and said at the very end of the last presentation, "I've been a priest for 55 years. I've been going to these conferences for as long as I can remember. I have never experienced a conference like this one." He said, "All I want to ask is, will you do it again next summer?"
How about Omaha?
Oh, my grateful for the partnership that I share with these senior fellows. And again, you can go to salvationhistory.com and just click on this little link for associates and staff, and there you'll see, you know, Father Mitch Pacwa and all of the others as well.
Yeah. And one of the great things, too, Scott, that you offer that we run every week are the Sunday Scripture Reflections in 3 minutes. I call it the most amazing 3 minutes on radio.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I enjoy doing that so much. Breaking the bread is just a real thrill. And to be able to provide materials for people to reflect upon, to prepare to enter into the sacrifice of the Mass, you know, with greater intensity, greater intentionality. I've heard from numerous priests and deacons as well as lay people that it really has been helpful for them, and I can't find the words to express the gratitude for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it brings it back to the beginning of our conversation, the seeds that were planted by this little nun and her group of sisters down in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places, just to set out to get the word out using modern means of communication to the point where Scott Hahn is now a podcast.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, no,
Who'd have thought it?
You know, and I do believe that in her suffering and silence now, Mother Angelica is winning at least as much grace as she was winning for us when she was actually live on the air, you know, once or twice a week. I have a feeling that when we get to the other side of eternity, we're going to look back and realize that, you know, the reason why EWTN was still flourishing, you know, even after her strokes and partial recovery, in spite of her silence, but because of her suffering and her prayers, I think our Lord is going to accomplish even greater works.
Oh, I think Absolutely. So as well. I look back at when her stroke, you know, took her voice, was right about the time when the church was having its greatest heartache. And I think there was some redemptive suffering. If there ever was an example of it, I think her suffering was a moment for all of us to reflect on.
Oh, yeah. You know, as the church is the body and bread of Christ, so in its earthly forms, it often assumes difficulties and hardships. And, you know, when you look upon a consecrated like Mother Angelica, you almost get a sense that our Lord is allowing us to see in her body the sufferings of the mystical body of Christ, Christ's bride. And it really calls us to deeper prayer and sacrifice ourselves, as well as to greater efforts to be faithful disciples and fruitful apostles.
As we said earlier, we feel truly blessed that you've allowed us to be able to have the programming available, beginning with Signs of the Covenant, to be able to share with our audience because they are so hungry for information that will lead them towards that light of Christ.
And when you have bread of when you have the bread of life to share and it's an endless supply, I mean, what more fun could we have?
Well, that's what it is. It's just joyful fun, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, definitely contagious. So, Scott, what's in the immediate future for you?
Well, for me right now, I'm finishing up a book that will be coming out next month called Ordinary Work, Extraordinary Grace. Doubleday will be publishing it, and it's subtitled My Spiritual Journey in Opus Dei. It's the first time I've really just kind of, you know, shared with the world the excitement I found over 20 years ago when I found the writings of St. Jose Maria, and all of my clever and original biblical findings, my discoveries, had been anticipated by decades, not only, you know, by the church centuries ago, but by St. Jose Maria, who really lived a biblical spirituality and imparted that in a way that was so practical and useful for lay people to become contemplatives in the middle of the world. And so I've tried to distill that as simply as possible, and that should be coming out, and I'm working on finishing a Catholic Bible dictionary for lay people that might be out, oh Lord willing, by the end of next year. It's a massive thing. It'll probably be close to 500 pages, and then I'm also editing an academic study that will be about 400 or 500 pages that I finished the first draft 11 years ago. It was my doctoral dissertation, and now I've revised it extensively, and I just met with my editor last weekend, and he's assuring me that we should have this thing to Doubleday for publication, you know, late 07, maybe early 08. And there are numerous other things, but I think the most important thing I'm doing is just striving to be a faithful husband and a father in our family. That is the most fulfilling thing of all.
Well said.
Yeah.
I do know of a wonderful woman here who is a volunteer, Scott. Her name is Dee Eichler, who raced out after your last appearance and picked up Understanding the Scriptures, part of the Didache series. And she loves it. I know it was a textbook for high school kids, but I'm telling you, it speaks to all of us.
Well, Chris, honestly, it was just a manuscript with typed words, you know, and then more than a year later, they sent it to me, and I fell out of my chair. What they transformed my manuscript into is simply the most beautiful book in the Bible I've ever seen.
It is.
The maps, the charts, the photographs, the questions for discussion that they added, all the stuff that they put in. I mean, I know of seminarians and priests who are using it for adult education, for their own spiritual formation, as well as adults. I just look up and think, God, you are amazing.
It is. Dee holds that book to her chest and just says, I can't let it go. She just loves it. It just speaks to her so strongly. And I know it does for so many others.
Yeah, you know, I got to share that along with my most recent book that came out right after it, called Letter and Spirit, From Written Text to Living Word.
Mm-hmm.
I got to share it with your shepherd, Archbishop Curtis, along with Archbishop Burke and Archbishop Nauman of St. Louis and Kansas City, respectively. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, I was privileged to lead a retreat out of Prince of Peace Abbey in Oceanside, California for a week, and I had to give 14 talks to 12 archbishops and bishops on how to really make the Word come alive in the liturgy and how Christ's Spirit does it anyway. And at the end, I was sharing with them, all of them, this high school text, and as well as the book Letter and Spirit, and to a man, we all got to share in the excitement of seeing, you know, how many new resources are available now to high school kids, to college kids, to ordinary Catholics who are parenting, as well as priest, deacons, and seminarians.
Yeah, I mean, it is all about catechesis, and Scott, you and your group are right at the forefront, and God bless you so much for that. The Catholic Church really needs this.
Bruce, thank you for those kind words, but you two are at that forefront, so let's pray for each other.
And Scott, if I'm going to beg upon your patience, that you might spare us a few moments when the new book comes out so you can help us to break that open even more and generate an even greater enthusiasm for the work of wonderful Father Escobar. I just think that's so important.
I would love to do that. I'm teaching at St. Vincent's on Mondays and Wednesdays, and so I'm kind of tied up on those days, driving out and back for those two courses. But I will be available Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, and you know, for interviews, for conversations, for anything, because I am really quite eager to share this sense of excitement that I've sustained now for two decades. It's not just the Catholic faith. I really kind of found my tribe in the nation of Israel.
Yes.
And Saint Jose Maria is a true spiritual father to thousands of us.
Okay, everybody, now get those pre-orders in.
Yeah.
Time to get the pre-orders in.
Well, Scott, thanks to you for spending time with us and our listeners, and we'll keep an eye on EWTN 25. I think it's going to be a cozy gathering of about 10,000 or so.
Cozy indeed.
Yes. God's blessings, and thanks to the Holy Spirit for all the energy and enthusiasm that he infuses into you.
Bruce and Chris, thank you so much for your consent to God working in you too.
Oh, well, that's due in part to your witness. And I can only imagine that this weekend will be kind of maybe just a little bit of what the apostles must have felt when they came out of that upper room and went down into the streets.
Oh, I hope their hearts are burning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless you, Scott. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
Take care.